watching Amy develop more is that because she's been at home now, stay at home mum for almost 6 years now, and she's inside these four walls with three kids 24 hours a day. And now there's an outlet where when the kids go to bed, she can process, she can do things, she can go out and do shoots. And I've just seen in her a bit more confidence.
I definitely struggle with anxiety like my whole life. And, you know, being at home with kids, you don't have people to talk to, you don't have an outlet. And for a lot of people, gym is some people's outlet. But for me, luckily, it's photographing my children. And yeah, it's definitely boosts, like I said, my confidence and self-worth. And I'm forever grateful for that.
Hey, mamas. Before you get started listening to today's episode, make sure you click on over to the show notes specific to this episode number 4. Either in the podcast app, you can just scroll down underneath to the notes section and there'll be a link to the show notes there. Alternatively, you can just go straight to our website, which is mamatography.co/4, and this will take you to today's show notes as well. Now, why should you do this? That's a good question. This is kind of like an interactive podcast. This is where you'll be able to view the photo that we talk about on the show today for the How She Made It segment, and also where you'll be able to find the link to download today's guest's free photo recipe. So you don't want to miss this, the episode, the beautiful photo we're going to chat about, and the free photo recipe. So much goodness is waiting for you over there, so make sure you click on over before we begin. Now let's get into it.
This podcast brought to you by Amy Oliver Photographer, my mum.
Hey there, welcome to Mumatography, the beginner photography podcast just for mums. I'm Amy Oliver and I'm a mama of two cheeky girls. And I've also been a family photographer for the last 10 years. I'm on a mission to help you take better photos of your kids without the confusing technical jargon.
Mums don't have time for that.
I'll be sitting down with mamas like yourselves, professional family photographers and camera-savvy Insta-mums. We'll chat about taking photos of your kids, tips and tricks, and how the heck did she make that photo? As well as other stuff that mums talk about, you know, not sleeping, poo, play dates, the mummy juggle. I know you hear me. So grab a cuppa, put your earbuds in and get comfy. This is beginner photography and so much more just for you. It's Amy here. Welcome back to the 4th episode of the Mumatography podcast. On the show today, I have a lovely husband and wife duo team who live in Sydney, Australia. And the last couple of years, they have taught themselves digital photography and even started their own little family photography business, all while having their third child, working multiple jobs and crazy hours and raising their little girl tribe. Their names are Amy and Riley, and their business name is Amy and Riley Photography, if you want to check them out on Instagram. But these two are the sweetest couple. The way that they support each other and spur each other on is just inspiring, you know, like hashtag couple goals. We just had so much to chat about that I've actually broken this interview into part one and part two. So make sure you have a listen to the second part of this interview when you've finished. It's really good. The interview is so encouraging and real, no fluff, straight to the point, but kind of hit your soul kind of chat while learning about photography. So I hope you love it. Well, Amy and Riley, welcome to the Mumatography podcast. And Riley, I know that this podcast is called Mumatography, and that's really because I needed a name and it sounded cool. So mums and dads are both welcome here. And I'm guessing it would have been a bit hard for Amy to, you know, pursue this photography thing without your help, and probably vice versa. So just want to say welcome to you both. And I'm so stoked that you're here and we are chatting today. So welcome to episode number 4, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us here.
Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. We feel so lucky to be on your podcast. So thank you, Amy.
I feel double lucky being a dadder on a mama podcast.
So, guys, can you tell us about yourself for people who don't know you? Where are you from? Who are your kids? What do you do with your days?
So I'm obviously Amy and I'm married to Riley. I'm a mum to three beautiful girls. 5, who's Arlo. 3 is Cora, and 10 months, and her name's Dali. We live in Sydney, and our life is completely different to most people we know. We are always busy, always crazy. Our kids are generally up to midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning most nights. We are constantly working, especially Riley. He has his own business and works full time. I'm a stay-at-home mum, and that's, you know, just as busy with none of them going to school yet. And, yeah, we kind of just love life and try and take everything, you know, by the horns and go. Like, we don't really think much and just do what we like. So
think a little.
Well, kind of. Most people, we think we do. Most people don't think. So we kind of live a, you know, crazy, busy life.
Free life.
Yeah, free life. Everyone calls our children free-range children just because we're just, you know, I don't know, we're not the traditional parents, I guess. It works for us and our lifestyle, and photography is a massive, massive part of that these days. And that's a little bit about me.
And I'm Riley. I've been married to Amy for 9 years now, nine years past. I come from a background in television. That's where I work now. And I'm a proud father of my beautiful little girls. Yeah.
Amazing. And knowing you guys, I'll tell people how we met in a minute, but you talk about being so busy and being so crazy, but I feel like if someone else had said that, I just have this picture of these crazy kind of uptight people who don't stop for people and that kind of thing. But knowing you guys, you are the complete opposite of that. And I feel like, I don't know, I just see the most gentle, beautiful family who really love embracing family time. And yeah, I feel like when we've hung out, I've gone away feeling, oh, like this is what I want my family to be like. So I just want to paint the picture for listeners, because these guys are just the most beautiful couple. Although they're busy and they say their kids are crazy, they're the most gentle family ever. And I just want to make that clear. We're not talking about some crazy uptight couple here. Now, we met because you guys emailed and booked a session with me, and I just happened to be in Sydney, and it all happened to work back in 2018, which was really cool. But one thing you might not know is that I nearly didn't make it to your session because I had to catch an Uber from my hotel because we were photographing at Centennial Park. The Uber driver learned that I was a photographer and I was doing a shoot, and he was a budding, excited photographer himself. And he got super excited to drive me all around Centennial Park, showing me all the locations that we could possibly go to for your family shoot. So it was good for probably 10 minutes, but then 20 minutes go past and I'm like, guys, I really need to go now. And then he started asking me what I was doing after the shoot. So anyway, I'm really glad that I made it to your shoot.
Yeah, we're lucky you made it too.
Thank you, strange Uber driver. But anyway, I think what happened is after we did your photo shoot, I asked you guys to drive me back to the hotel so I wouldn't have to catch an Uber. So thank you for doing that, guys.
Oh, no worries. Glad we could save you from one more Uber drive.
Now, you guys are a family, as far as I can tell, that you kind of put a high value on photography and documenting your family. I say this because you've had all three of your births professionally photographed. You've also, because Riley, your background in TV and being pretty tech savvy, you've produced some pretty awesome birth announcements for your family. And you've also obviously had me photograph you as well. And now you're doing the same for other families. And I just thought I have to have you guys on the podcast because I can see that you value photography and you value documenting your family. So I just wanted to ask, like, why do you guys value photography so much? Like, what does it mean to you as a family?
For me, it's what I was mentioning before about enjoying the moment. Like, I look at a photo from my daughter from a month ago and she's changed already. And that kind of terrifies me, but I love that I can just document every step of their lives. And if you're going to document it, why not do it as beautifully as you possibly can? And I really enjoy developing my own skills by doing that. So it's something I get out of it. Hopefully the kids look back at the photos. They love going through the photo album. But for me, it's just such a personal art form. It's the ultimate collision of those two worlds of just family and love and just art and beauty. I love getting photos of Amy and the kids, even though she'll say that I don't take enough. Just those moments between them that when you're watching, it goes past in such a heartbeat, you kind of miss it. But when you capture it in a frame, it's always there. There's certain photos I remember from the birth photography. There's one specific one in mind where Amy's just a superwoman. She's just this absolute fierce, like, power just right as she's giving birth. And I always go back to that. Whenever I think of strength, I think of that one photo. And it's like, we got hundreds of photos, but that one comes to mind. So like, that's why it just, photography stands out to me, because it's full moments that get captured in a single frame.
And for me, it's a combination of things. First, with the birth photography, I remember having quite a traumatic birth. But one of the biggest things that helped me was looking back at that photography and seeing the beauty and going, do you know what? A lot of it, yes, it's hard. It's hard and scary. But like Riley was saying, like those moments that I got to see that helped me so much with my second birth, understanding like there was so much beauty in birth. There was so much beauty in the pain and the moments Riley and I shared. And when that baby went on me, like, you know, not that I forgot, but having those photos just really just sparked the joy for me, I guess. And I guess that's why photography feels important to me in that way. For me, it's when you get those photos, that feeling, like that sparking joy feeling of, oh my goodness, like I, even though it's me, I feel incredibly lucky to have been able to have those photos and just to look at them and looking back at memories in time, whether it's when we're traveling or birth photography or yeah, just simply going to the beach. And that feeling, I get so excited when we can deliver a gallery that they're about to get that feeling, because it excites me every time. I get goosebumps talking about it now. And yeah, I love that feeling. I just feel extremely lucky to have beautiful photos to look at.
Yeah. I think it's just such an incredible gift, isn't it? Like photography, like it can kind of fill us up and give in so many different ways. And Amy, I really relate to you with what you're saying about having your birth photographed and then, you know, being able to see, you know, bring you joy and help you remind you of even what Riley was saying, how strong you are and, you know, that you did it, and just to help you process the birth kind of.
100%.
Yeah. I feel like photography can be really healing like that as well.
That's the perfect word. I would, definitely.
Yeah. I really felt that with when I had my birth photographed as well. It was such a healing experience because it was so full on, but to be able to look back and process what happened and then see, you know, I can see, I did it. Oh, it's just, I think I've said this before, but I feel like photography is just kind of like a gift that keeps on giving, like to ourselves and to other people around us. And it's beautiful, isn't it?
It's such a personal gift. You can make someone feel something so much with my or our skill sets can make other people feel so connected to their own family. That's amazing.
So guys, a lot's happened in the last 2 years since we had our photo shoot in Centennial Park in Sydney. You've had another baby, because when I photographed you, you only had Arlo and Cora. And so you've had Dali now. And you also gave birth to a photography business as well.
I was going to say, where are you going with that?
So how did you get from being passionate and excited about photography to actually starting a business? That's a really big step. What inspired you? Why did you do it?
I think number one, and we're not just saying this, Amy, because we're on your podcast, it was literally meeting you. Like we found you, I found you through Instagram. Someone must have tagged you and I found you and fell in love with your type of photos, because it was a couple of years ago, but I feel like Instagram photography has just changed so much and it's just got better and better. And that lifestyle photography. And I remember looking at your photos going, oh my gosh, there is a whole new world of photography. It's not studio. It's not overly posed. And I didn't really realize there was such a thing until I saw your photos, Amy. And to this day, I still think that looking at your photos. Then we met you and you were so easygoing and, you know, we did your shoot. I guess you were the catalyst and we were never, ever, ever planning to, but you really were the catalyst from there on. You kind of, not that it's easy in any way, but you made it look easy and made it look like you can do it. And the fact that you were a mummy to two girls and you were, you know, you were doing it, I was like, maybe we can, you know, and that's kind of, for me, how our catalyst started. And it was never intentional ever. And we kind of felt a little bad. It's after your shoot, we, you know, started Amy and Riley. And I remember, I think Riley may have messaged you and I promised we didn't, you know, hire you to copy you or anything. It was never like that. It was so just funny watching you and just how good you were and just the feeling again that we got when we got your photos, just, wow, maybe we can do it. So for me, that was the catalyst.
How about? I think rewinding to that was that I've always sort of liked photography, but kind of never put too much into it, because it was just every time I tried, it got quite difficult. As you mentioned, and I think your F1, I jump online and just see guys talking about just the technical side of photography, and I just didn't connect with any of that. So it wasn't until I had the girls, and then I went, all right, I need to get serious about this. And then I was just practicing and just doing my thing. And then so I was just photographing my own kids. And then all of a sudden friends started going, hey, can you photograph my kids? Mm. Oh, and I never felt that I was quite good enough. So I kind of always left it and and thought, nah, you know, I'm not a professional. And then when we photographed with you, you probably remember I asked you 1,000 questions, but a lot of your answers were exactly what I was already doing.
Mm.
And that gave me confidence because at first I thought I'm just, you know, an outsider, not sure what I'm doing. I've just made it up as I go. But then when I saw that you were doing what I was doing and you were getting those results, all of a sudden I went, oh, if Amy can do it, I can do it. So all those friends who have been asking, hey, can you take my kids' photos? I went, yeah, let's give it a shot. And then what happened is that I found I would kind of take photos and I'd be happy with them, but then I'd give the camera to Amy and I thought I had, you know, years of experience. Amy had never touched a camera and she'd get these shots that would blow mine out of the water. And she just had this eye and I just went, oh, this isn't fair. So I taught Amy sort of then the principles. I went, hey, you twist this knob here, you click this button here, taught her how to compose, you know, a shot in camera. And she just ran with it. But what she's done in the last 2 years has just absolutely blown me out of the water what I've done over 10 years.
Oh,
and that's how we kind of then went, hey, Amy's got a skill set that's amazing and a great eye. I'm developing one too. Let's give it a go.
So we kind of just feed off each other and we're still obviously learning from each other and kind of love it.
That's why we're a good sort of team, because I feel that Amy's sort of more the eye and she's better at directing and posing, where I am a bit more technical because I just have that background. So between us, we kind of...
And he has the height. So whenever you need height in a photo shoot, I can get on his shoulders or I can tell him to go on his tippy toes. Like, you know, I can do it, but it's way easier when he's around. So that's always handy as well.
That's such a good benefit of being a husband and wife duo, like, because it's not many people you could say, can I just jump on your shoulders and take a photo?
So
it was just very much an evolution. It was never, we never kind of planned it, but we kind of fell into it and we're just so happy and now we're really trying to roll with it.
Yeah.
That's so good, guys. You can't tell, but I have a massive smile on my face and I feel like hearing all that and hearing a bit of your journey there, like I just feel so excited that like that was, you know, a catalyst for you in getting photographing, because in my mind, there's no greater privilege than to be able to direct someone in something that makes me feel amazing, and just that you guys can, you know, see the kind of life that you can have with photography in that is just, yeah, I just get super pumped. So
it was just the confidence boost that we needed.
I think when I was first starting photography, I got to shoot with one of my idols, and it was really cool because in a similar way, like I went and I shot a wedding with this person, and you know, it was the same thing. It was like, oh, I'm not actually doing that much stuff different. It's not like there's all this magic behind the scenes that I don't have myself, or there's this, you know, secret formula that someone's using. It was none of that. It was like pulling back the veil, and just, it was like that for me as well. It was like this massive confidence boost.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. It was like, if you can do it, oh, I can do that too. And yeah, we're not really doing much else that's different. So yeah, I really understand how you'd walk away and feel like I can do it too, because that's exactly what happened to me. Really cool.
That's awesome.
Just out of curiosity, was there anything that I did that you thought, oh, that's how she does it? And you might have had a different perception of how I did something or directed someone or took the photo.
For me, I think when I saw photos, you don't really realize. I basically, you know, you see beautiful photos and go, I wonder, you know, I want to scout locations. But when I go to a location, I'm like, before that, I was a bit like, should we go here? Should we go there? Should we go here? And I realize you're just an amazing photographer. You do need great locations and great light, but you don't need to go to 10 spots in the one place. You know, I think we just went to 2 spots, I think.
I think we went to 3.
Yeah.
Or 3. And that's all you did. Like, and you didn't, like, for me, I felt like you didn't overly pose us, which is, of course, why we, you know, wanted you to take our photos. But it was more just, you moved us in different angles and towards the light. And I know that sounds simple, but at the time, I just didn't realize. I always would go, oh, you know, you have to go to 10 different places and get the, you know, the 10 great shots, but you can get 10 great shots in one place with just different angles and, you
different
know,
angles, different light.
A little bit of different posing. And that's what I found really amazing, that you got such amazing shots and not much movement really, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It does. It makes perfect sense. I think that's when in my wedding photography days, the couples would come to you and they're like with their list and like, okay, I've got 10 locations. We're going to go here, 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 here. And it's like, whoa, hold up, guys. We only need like a couple of nice shots and, you know, together with nice light and my cameras and my eye, we can like not have to stress ourselves out.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet you, Riley.
I think for me, it was more the confirmation of things rather than what you did different. It was, I thought I overshot. And then talking to you, you kind of mentioned that you take a lot of shots in a session and obviously you got to then cut them down. And I just went, oh, okay, it's okay to take a lot of shots. It doesn't mean you're a bad photographer. When you're photographing kids and families, it just takes that many to get the shot. And things like that just really connected with me.
Yeah. All parents want these natural, shots with movement and, you know, just real connection. And I feel like when you're photographing really young kids, in order to get that, like you have to take a lot of shots, don't you?
Oh, yeah. It takes a lot of clicks to get that frame.
And lots of tears. I always tell people, thank goodness there's no audio to video, to our photos, because it would be a loud, loud, loud audio track when you take photos.
Exactly.
I think it's part of the Instagram age where we just look at other people and go, how are they getting that shot? And we're only comparing shot to shot, and we're not seeing their camera roll and seeing what they're binning and what they're rejecting. So,
and I also find like some photographers lately have been, well, who I've been following, will show their before and after, and I think that's really amazing because they are editing them, and you know, of course you need the eye and that is the most important, but it's just nice to see what people do and you're like, oh, okay, that's how I edit, but I just want to make sure that I'm not over editing either. So it's nice to see other people, you know, showing those little secrets and not just going, here's the shot, this is what I've done, and you know, there's no,
or as you said, lift the veil.
Yeah, lift the veil. Exactly. Yeah.
And yeah, I guess that's how you learn, isn't it? Like that's how you grow and you see how other people do it. So guys, what camera do you shoot with? Has this changed? What did you start with? Tell me what you're using at the moment. All the big gear question, even though I don't like asking gear questions.
That's right. Amy's just pointed to me. I guess I'm the
tech
guy. We shoot with a Sony A7 III, mainly because I've come from a video background. That's the gear I had. I've always shot video with Sony. Mm-hmm. And then when we were starting out, I wasn't going to invest in a whole lot of new gear because it's a big investment.
And it was also traveling because it was a smaller compact camera. So for us, it was just way less, weight we had to carry.
We found the big DSLRs got a bit heavy when I had one or two kids in the arms, plus a big camera with a lens and stuff. It just became too much, with the mirrorless was that nice balance. And we've got a 35mm 1.4 lens, which is basically what we shoot about 90% of our photos on.
Yeah. I love the colour of, we're not very big gear people, but I do love the colour of a Canon. I just think they're just beautiful. We have borrowed a Canon before and they're just a bit more rich in colour. But
Canon are known for having that beautiful skin tones and creamy, milky kind of feel to the files.
Yeah,
my friends have said that they really notice the difference going from Canon to Sony. But Sony has so many benefits, like you said, small, compact, mirrorless, and I often get a little bit jealous of my friends who have these smaller Sonys.
No, they're great.
So with any new hobby or interest that we have, it obviously requires a lot of time and attention for us to kind of improve and move forward in our skills and confidence. And you know what, like as parents, those two things, like giving time and attention, they can, you know, they're already divided. Hey, like you've got three kids, I've got two kids. It's really hard. And I'm saying this because in the last 2 years, you guys, like I've said, you've started a business, you've had your third baby, and you've kept another two little humans alive. And, you know, that's a lot. Like you've done really well. But I guess I'm just wanting to ask, you know, for parents who are wanting to pursue photography, you know, lots of them think, oh, I just, you know, I don't have the time, I don't have the capacity, I don't have the, you know, the bandwidth. And, you know, for some people that's true. But for others, I think, you know, it's a matter of kind of making time. And I was just wondering if you guys can just talk about, how did you do it? Like, how did you actually make time to pursue a new passion or hobby? Because, you know, as I said, time and attention is harder the more kids you have. How did you guys do it?
I guess I haven't stopped to think about it until you said all that. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty busy now you mention it. I think with the time, it goes two ways. You do need to dedicate time, and, you know, the dishes can wait, like just choose your certain things. But at the same time, you can just capture the things you're doing. If your kids are making something in the kitchen or in the bath or doing something fun, they're moments that have to happen either way. So grab the camera out for five minutes, take a couple quick shots, and you never know what you're going to get.
That's what else I was going to say. Is that's the other thing, is when you are a mummy trying to learn to take photos, don't do it, you know, for an hour. Just do it for 5-10 minutes, because your kids will get sick of it, you know, just little bits here and there. And The other thing I was going to say, Amy, is when you ask how do you do it with the time, our house is a constant mess. Sometimes we do the dishes the next morning. We don't have time.
Every time.
No, I do the dishes most nights. But, that something's got to give. And
yeah,
it does. I mean, when someone's coming over, our house will look great. But generally, if you turn up like the archaic times and people just turn up, you're going to walk into bedlam. But that's okay because we're creating moments and memories. So, yeah.
Right. And I really resonate with that. Like I'm constantly saying to my husband, like, I just can't do everything. And I often choose creative outlets and or my business or just photography or something creative over housework and over dishes. And we're often doing dishes in the morning or, I mean, we're getting better as we're getting.
It's so nice to know, Amy.
Oh, absolutely. Well, something's got to give. Hey, there's not enough hours in the day and you've got three little humans to keep alive and you're trying to fill your creative tank and run a business and, you know, have a relationship and like all the things. So I think it's okay not to be a superstar at everything. Like you just can't, and just to kind of relax into, you know, it's okay that the dishes are not done. It's okay that there's washing oozing from the laundry. If you can, you know, just feed yourself in a way, if photography or knitting or I don't know, even gardening or sweeping fills you more than doing the dishes, I think that's okay.
I agree. And I think it's important. We try to teach our kids that I would rather them see us have fun with them while daddy's taking a photo than them looking at me cleaning a wall or cleaning the dishes. Cause I just want them to know that cleaning up isn't as important as having those memories. You know, it's good to have a clean house, but I don't want them to always think that's what they need to be fulfilled. You know, very much try and bring them up that it's more memories and moments. And we have a lot of them in our house. It's just a messy house.
You don't want them to think the dishes come before them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's like they're the priority right now.
But don't get us wrong. We still get annoyed when it's messy and we still tell them to clean up. But,
there's part of where I hate using the word balance because I don't feel like there is, but sometimes there is a bit of a balance between like having good mental health and having the dishes done as well.
Great.
I don't want to make light of that. But like, yeah, I think all in perspective.
I agree. Okay. Sometimes you need a clear space, which includes, you know, clean dishes to edit well. So I understand.
Right. That's exactly
it. Saying that mental health is a good point, is that like even just now, not now, sorry, but watching Amy develop more is that because she's been at home now, stay at home mum for almost 6 years now, and she's inside these four walls with three kids 24 hours a day.
Mm.
And now there's an outlet where when the kids go to bed, she can process, she can do things, she can go out and do shoots. And and I've just seen in her a bit more confidence and a bit more worth in just that she feels that she's contributing more, even though that's what I always said. It's like I technically bring in the money, but I couldn't do what I do without everything she does. She's bringing more to this family than I am, but she always felt a little undervalued. Just that's how mothers feel, I think.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I definitely struggle with anxiety like my whole life, and you know, being at home with kids, you naturally do. I feel anyway. You don't have people to talk to, you don't have an outlet, and you know, you kind of, for me, photography helped me a lot. And I also find following a lot of photographers, a lot of them have similar, you know, anxiety or, you know, depression or, you know, some mental health issue. Not all of them, but it's so common. And photography is their outlet. Like for a lot of people, gym is some people's outlet. But for me, luckily, it's photographing my children. And yeah, it's definitely boosts, like I said, my confidence and self-worth. And I'm forever grateful for that.
But just motherhood, I find, is such a big job and it's the most thankless. Like us guys go to work and earn a dollar figure, so our work is valued more. When being a mother so outweighs what I do in my day-to-day job, but it's kind of not recognised quite so much, I find.
He's a better stay-at-home dad than I am a stay-at-home mum, so he honestly is awesome. So, thank you, Riley.
I really resonate with what you're saying, and I think when I had my second child, Anna, like it's been a really hard journey with her. And like that first year, you know, she had lots of stomach issues and reflux and, you know, just even learning how to be a mum of two kids and everything. And it got to the year mark and I just said to my husband, I'm like, oh, I really need to go back to work. I really need to start photographing again, because at that point I'd had, you know, my maternity leave. And as soon as I started and I went back, it was like, oh, it was so refreshing just to, you know, have that time to yourself, but to be able to be creative. And, you know, and it's confidence is a massive thing, like you said, for mums. And I just think, yeah, it's, I felt really blessed to be able to have that photography outlet to be able to help me with my mental health in that way, just because things were so hard. Now we're going to jump into a new segment that we'll be doing most weeks, and it's called How She Made It. So this is a segment where my guest chooses an image that she's created, and we actually talk about how she did it on the podcast. So what she was thinking, how she was feeling, what inspired her, how she edited the image, were her kids even complying, and just anything else she wants to talk about. Now this might seem crazy given that this is an audio medium and not a visual one, but I guarantee you it still works. I would encourage you to just pause this podcast right now if you haven't done it already. And if you're listening on your iPhone, just jump into the podcast app and just click on this particular episode's notes, and then the link will be there. Alternatively, you can go to the Mummatography website, which is www.mummatography.co/4, and this will bring you to Amy and Riley's Mummatography page with all the notes from today's episode, including the image that we are just about to chat about. And you can see that at the top of the page. So if you haven't done it yet, then go there now and look at the image. I guarantee it's only going to make your day better. And I really hope this segment will inspire you in your own photo-taking journey, and just that it'll help you understand the thinking process behind how an image is made. For the sake of time, I've just asked Amy to choose an image that she's taken that we can talk about. But Amy, could you just paint the picture of this gorgeous image that you have taken? So listeners who haven't clicked over might be able to get a little bit of an idea of what it is.
Yeah, sure. So it's Riley, and it's my beautiful little girl, my oldest one, Arlo. I think she was actually pretty much over the photo shoot that we went to. She was just getting grumpy and her clothes got wet, and she'd taken her top off, and Riley's just hugging her. You can see the back of her, just kind of having a moment. He's probably telling her, you know, go get ice cream or something. I think he's kneeling and she's standing, and they're just kind of just embracing each other, I guess.
Do you remember what F number or aperture that you were shooting at here?
We can look it up actually.
For people at home, I ask this because sometimes when we are photographing and we're using a really low F number, it just adds a beautiful softness and warmth to an image that it looks really different if you're shooting at a higher F number.
100%.
So
it's 2.2.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah. That's gorgeous. I also, Amy, you sent through a bunch of beautiful photos for us to pick from. And I think I was just drawn to this one, having, you know, photographed you guys before, and even what you said in your email, Riley, you know, you and Arlo have a really special bond, but I just kind of felt like this photo, it's just a beautiful photo of a father embracing his daughter.
Yeah.
And so where were you? Like what had been happening before this photo? And I'm guessing by looking at the light that the sun, it's kind of later in the evening.
Yeah. So this is the first time, basically this is the first photo shoot we went out and said, okay, we're going to start Amy and Riley Photography. We need some photos. Like, you know, not just ones of our kid, portrait photos of our kids, you know, something Amy Oliver style, as we always say, you know, instead of WWJD, what would Jesus do? It's WWAD, what would Amy do? So it's really hard in Sydney because there's not many beaches that face west or really anything. So we found this little place called Bear Island. It's not really a beach. It's just rocks and oysters underneath this bridge. So basically we did this photo shoot with our children for an hour on and off. They were getting over it. There was oysters everywhere, you know, trying our hardest that they didn't get hurt, but they were having a lot of fun in the end. Like I said, we would go anywhere for a photo. We don't want to endanger our children. They had shoes on. So that's what it was. And I think she was just getting close to the end. By the look of the sun, it was going to set pretty soon. It was probably starting to get cold. And what I love about this photo is I love the more skin in a photo, I think the more beautiful and just more of a connection that you see. And not that I told her to take her clothes off because she likes to be naked constantly, but she obviously got wet and took it off. And I just think having that skin on skin is just makes that photo more emotional and just more, I think you can connect more. Well, that's how I feel. That's kind of what happened beforehand. And it was more of just I didn't really pose it. It was just in the moment.
It's beautiful. And like you said, like, yeah, I absolutely love skin on skin photos. There's just something that's, it's just, there's no distractions. It's just kind of like this pure kind of, yeah.
It's super raw. Yeah, you're totally raw. Yeah.
Early on starting doing photography, again, based off all those videos I watched online about everything having to be perfect, I got caught up in everything had to be sharp, everything had to be lit a certain way. But then I read a blog, a photographer, I wish I remembered who it was, but it was all about capturing connection rather than the perfect photo, so to say. So it didn't matter if it's blurry or it didn't matter if it's you know, it's overexposed or something like that. If it's a moment between two people, it's a good photo. And that really stuck with me. And that kind of was one of the things that really, I think, really developed my photography was rather than chasing the perfect picture, I was chasing connection. And I was chasing a moment between a father and a daughter, or, you know, a mother and a daughter or something like that. But that was a big one to me. And here I just see connection. And
it takes the pressure off, hey, like when you start thinking of it like that, like it doesn't have to be perfect, because it is so hard to get a technically perfect photo out in the bush or the beach or whatever with children, because we've got these like time bombs about to go off at any moment that don't do anything that you say, really, like without, you know, extra planning. And yeah, when you kind of just take that off and go, no, I'm just going after connection, it doesn't have to be technically perfect. Yeah, I'll try and get it right in camera where I can, but you know what, we can play with it, we can adjust the exposure or the white balance or anything in Lightroom afterwards. Just go for connection and see what you get. Cool. Well, Amy, I just think this is a beautiful image and thank you for sharing it with us. And I love what you guys have said about going for moments. And I would love for people to take that away from looking at this photo and just to, I mean, while it is technically like it's beautiful, it's nice to know that you don't have to chase technically perfect images, because you'll go crazy if you do that. And especially when you're involving kids. So anyway, thanks Amy for sharing. It's beautiful.
No problem.
If you guys had one piece of advice for parents just starting out to learn the craft of photography for the first time, what would it be?
Starting out for the first time, I know it sounds cliche, but just shoot. Shoot, because as soon as you start going through your photos, you'll start looking at it going, why did I shoot it from there? And you'll start critiquing your own work. And that's, I found, a good way for me to learn, is that the next time I did it, I wouldn't make that same mistake. But the only way to make the mistake was to keep shooting. The other thing was just keep it fun for the kids. Like, we went through a little stage where our kids, the camera would come out and you could see that almost sigh. They'd be like, oh, here we go. And it wasn't fun for them.
I would also say, you said pick up the camera. I would say find your light and know how to work with light. And it can change an ordinary photo into something extraordinary. And I still feel like I'm learning. Like, you know, I still don't feel like I have it all together. I look back and I, you know, 2 years ago and think, oh no, I definitely have evolved. But yeah, finding light and working in different ways with light, yeah, your photos can just look so different. Yeah, they're the two. That's what I would
say. And one other big thing for me that really kind of took me to the next step in photography was changing from auto to manual.
Oh yeah, of course.
That first week, I'm already going bold.
I would say to the mums that are going to pick up, or a dad that's going to pick up, not an iPhone, like a proper, you know, proper camera, work out ISO, aperture, and
shutter speed.
And I think that's what I learned. And I think once you can nail them, which won't take long, once you understand it, you know, you can do it.
That's really good. I really like what both of you guys have said. And Riley, one of the ways that I learned the most, the biggest teacher for me, is when I'd shot and I'd loaded up my photos in Lightroom and I'm looking at them and I made sure I had the little settings on each photo. So every time I looked at a photo, I could see what settings it was on and what it did. And I was like, oh, that was crap. And I'll just keep going. And I'm like, oh, that was, and you know, all the mistakes I made were just all kind of registering. And like, I was learning heaps when I actually sat back down at my computer and looked over.
Exactly. And you start to learn, understand why, what each setting does. Cause you'd look at it and go, oh, half the photos like blurry, then you go, oh, I shot it too wide, the aperture is too wide, next time I'll do this. And you start learning what all those all those numbers mean.
And Amy, I like what you said about light as well, because I think it's something, I think sometimes we're so quick to just pick up our cameras, which of course that makes sense. But I think just as important as picking up your camera is reading and understanding light, because that really makes or breaks a photo. And just knowing what time of the day you get good light and where, you know, keeping an eye on the light in your house and what it does, it all works together, doesn't it?
Well, I'm glad you agree, Amy, because if you agree, then 100% I'm glad.
We would have changed our answers otherwise.
I love it. And guys, if you could give our listeners one or two tips when it comes to photographing their own kids, what would they be?
Bribery, 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 and more bribery for us. Kids would, people will say on photo shoots, do you think it's okay to, you know, give them a chocolate? I'm like, give them a whole bag. If they're going to do what they're going to do and they're going to be happy.
If we can get the shot, go for it.
Go for it. And that's probably, you know, but other than that, what a...
That and just, as I mentioned before, positivity. It's just keeping it fun and exciting for the kids. And when we get to our photo recipe, part of it's in there, it's keeping it exciting and fun for them, like with little challenges and things like that, things that bring it back to their world. Like we're wanting them to come into our world of
or related to them. Like I said, our oldest one is into YouTube, so we kind of make photos into like YouTube challenges, you know, because she loves watching YouTube challenges, or she loves watching YouTube pranks. So we kind of, you know, do funny pranks and then, you know, capture the moments of those in photos and just tailor it to your children, you know, and that's probably the best advice we use anyway.
Ladies, have you heard about Mummatography's free photo recipes? Now, if you haven't heard, you're going to want to listen up, because Mummatography photo recipes are an exciting new resource that myself and my guests will be delivering to you guys for free every week on the podcast. Now, what is a photo recipe, I hear you ask? Well, it's basically a set of instructions, much like how a cooking recipe reads, that takes you through a series of simple steps to set up a beautiful or fun or creative scene at your home with your kids, so that you can practice your photography skills while your kids are engaged and entertained. So these recipes are designed to inspire creativity in you and spare the tears from everyone, including you. I really hope that these recipes are a gift to you guys and that they help take some of the stress away from involving your kids in your photo taking journey. I think every shoot I go on, one parent always turns to me and they say, what do they say? Don't work with children and animals. And they're exactly right. It is really hard. And I hate to break it to you guys, but it's even harder when it's your own kids. So I really hope that these recipes help you out, and look out for them with each new podcast episode. And if you want to get today's photo recipe that Amy and Riley have created just for you for free, then go to www.mummatography.co/4 and you can download it right there for free. I hope that helps. So Amy and Riley, you have come up with a photo recipe for our listeners. So I thank you so much for doing that. It's quite a funny one. I did have a bit of a giggle when you sent it through to me. It's called Don't Wake the Baby, and it involves a sleeping baby, the best Nana blankets you can find, and an awards ceremony for the kids, which is brilliant and hilarious. I think it's the best. So can one of you guys just quickly tell me what this recipe involves?
Well, we set this up because our daughter does love YouTube and she loves challenges. So anytime we can introduce that, she's on board, she's keen. So what we did with Dali when she was born, we wrapped her up, put her on a blanket in the middle of the room, and it was getting the other two girls to get as close as they can, but don't wake her up. So they could get in there and they could give her a kiss, they could touch her, they could smell her, they could do whatever they wanted, but don't wake her up. And we found that was a really good way for us to get some really nice moments between them. So that's what our recipe is all about. It's about setting up a place in the house where you can have it. Doesn't have to be a baby, a sleeping child, or something fun like that, and then getting everyone in the house to share a moment with the baby. And then to keep it positive at the end, we suggested an award ceremony, because that's what we do with our girls. We go, hey, you had the best smile, you had the best secret in the year. And it keeps it fun for them. So then next time we pull out the camera, they get excited and go, hey, what challenge are we going to do now?
We also actually do that with a lot of the kids that we photograph. We really need to send them awards, but I tell them a lot of the time that there's different awards for different, you know, I don't know, for like best smile or best giggle. We do a lot of pranks also on a lot of in the photo shoots. We go, go tickle mummy and then come back. Yeah, and then I'll tell you who's got the best award. You know, the best award at the end. So we do that a lot in our photography as well. And then at the end, we tell them what they won and what what title they got. We just kind of, I think that's, it started though from our children.
So that's a bonus step, but we think it's really good encouragement for the kids.
I love it. And I wish I'd thought of this in all my 10 years of photographing. I'd never thought to do awards for kids, even for my own or for my clients. So I'm absolutely, totally stealing this and using it. Well,
we really need to pull through and like send the awards. We normally just title them at the end, but kids love it. Kids love it.
And in our recipe, I actually had an optional step of actually getting the kids involved where the couple, I've actually got a photo on my LinkedIn which was taken by Arlo. So my professional LinkedIn photo is taken by, at that point, a four-year-old. And some of the best portraits I've got of myself are from her. She picks up the camera and clicks away. And between the half a dozen crooked ones, there's often one or two just golden photos.
So we'll get in the photo. Like we might even say, you know, watch mommy and daddy. And then they will take photos and then we get them to do it. You know, we do that a lot in our photography as well. We get them to get the camera and we show them and then we swap. And yeah, that all started from like a photo like this.
So. And it takes away that fear of the camera. What is that big black thing that you're holding and all that? And then I'm pretty competitive. So I want to win one of the awards too. Like, I got to get in the photo. Like, come on.
I love it. It's so good. Do you guys ever get scared that they're going to drop your camera?
One of us is usually there.
Or we normally have it around their neck.
But no, we're always very close and usually hand on the back of the strap when the girls are doing it. But I just find getting them used to the equipment just makes it a little easier.
So, guys, it's been an absolute blast having you both on the podcast and just hearing about your family and your photography journey this far. I can't believe that 2 years ago that, you know, you were at the very start and to look where you are now. And when I see your photos pop up in my feed, I always just do a little fist pump in the air. I'm like, yes, go, guys, you can do it. I just love it. I love it that you love photography and just to see where you are now is really cool. So thanks for sharing. And people in Sydney, if you are looking at booking a session, then I would highly encourage you to get in touch with Amy and Riley because I think as you can tell they're a very relaxed couple and I know that they would make you feel super comfortable and also get beautiful images. So Amy and Riley, can you just tell me if people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
Best place is probably Instagram. That's where we post most of our stuff.
Cool. And what's your Instagram name?
Yep, it's Amy and Riley Photography. That's AIMEE and Riley, REILLY, photography.
Awesome. And you can, head on over there and just see their work. And yeah, I hope that you guys will get in touch with them. And also I'd encourage you to make sure you go to the show notes, which is mumatography.co/4 and you can see all the things that we've talked about on today's episode. So again, Amy and Riley, thank you for being on the show. And I just love it that you're here and we've been able to hear some of your journey. So thanks for being here.
Thank you, Amy. This has been an absolute blast.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure's all mine. Well, thanks for tuning in, guys. I hope you love Amy and Riley as much as I do. And make sure you check out the next episode because that's part two where Amy and Riley chat all about their passion and love for travel and the furthest that they have traveled to for a photo. It's quite funny. So jump on over and have a listen. And if you had like a couple of seconds or maybe a minute free, I would love it if you could jump on over to iTunes and leave a review. It would mean the world to me. If you like the podcast, could you jump on over and write something kind? That would be amazing. But anyway, guys, have a great week and I'll see you on the next episode.